Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Odessa American Obituaries, published Sunday, March 20th. Edith Libson Hammond Hardy, Odessa. Edith Anita Hammond Libson Hardy died peacefully at home in Odessa, March 16, 2022, after a lengthy illness. She was born April 3, 1928, to Timmons Marvin Hammond and Maddie Ethel Wemmick Hammond in Elmore, Alabama. She was married to Nojem Libson on May 30, 1953, until his death on August 28, 1983. She married Eugene F. Hardy on June 19, 2004. Family visitation will take place at 1 p.m., followed by a celebration of life at 1:30 p.m. in Eagle Pass, Texas, March 19th, at Jaeger Barrera Mortuary, 1613 Del Rio Boulevard, Eagle Pass, Texas, with burial to follow at Eagle Pass Catholic Cemetery. A memorial service officiated by David Chancellor will be held in Odessa, March 26th at 3 p.m. at Westminster Presbyterian Church. Edith was preceded in death by her parents, her first husband, Nojem Libson, her daughter-in-law, Janet Libson, her sister, Dorothy Jones, and husband, Marvin, her brother, Lester Hammond, and sister-in-law, Margaret, and brothers-in-law Morris Libson, Benny Libson, and Robert Wilcox, niece Tanya Cruz, and nephews Carlos Jones and Jerry Hammond. Left to treasure her memory are her husband, Eugene Hardy, her sons, Tim Libson and wife Liz of Michigan, Ted Libson of San Antonio, Dr. David Libson and wife Beth of Odessa, and her sister Reba Hammond of Alabama. She is also survived by her grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations to Westminster Presbyterian Church, WCOdessa.com. Please mail checks to Westminster Presbyterian Church, 4901 Maple Avenue, Odessa, Texas, 79762, in memory of Edith Libson Hardy. Patricia Ellen First, San Antonio, April 4th, 1928 to March 10th, 2022. Patricia Ellen Ford First passed away Thursday, March 10th, 2022, at the age of 93, surrounded by loved ones. She was born to William Joseph Ford and Helen Claire McLaughlin on April 4th, 1928 in Arlington, Massachusetts. She met her husband-to-be, Dr. William Bill Dutton Rush, first in Boston while he was finishing his residency. They married July 17, 1954. She is preceded in death by her parents and younger brother, Edmund J. Ford of Boston, and her husband, Dr. William Dutton Rush, first. She is survived by her sister, Jacqueline Ford Hill of Plymouth, Massachusetts. Her children, Ellen Seeley and husband Ed, Dr. William F. Biff First, Drs. Edward D. and wife Barry, Dr. Matthew First and wife Suzette, and Patricia Trish First, plus her 12 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. Pat will be interred with her husband at the Episcopal Diocese Columbarium at a private service. Memorials to St. Anthony de Padua Church in San Antonio or the Children's Miracle Network at the Odessa Medical Center Hospital. You are invited to sign the guest book at porterloring.com. Arrangements with Porter Loring Mortuary, 1101 McCullough Avenue, San Antonio, Texas, 78212. Carolyn Ann Haltom, Odessa. Carolyn Ann Haltom was born in Houston February 24, 1938, and passed away in Odessa Friday, March 11, 2022. Left to mourn her sweet spirit is her husband of 63 years, Charles Haltom. Grandson and granddaughter-in-law, Jared and Kelly Crumley of Houston, and their two children, Archer and Abigail. Grandson and granddaughter-in-law, Cade and Sarah Crumley of Tyler, and their three children, Roseman, Patsy, and Lucy. Grandson Colin Crumley of Odessa and son-in-law Ray Crumley of Odessa. She was preceded in death by her parents, Uzella and Billy Barham, in-laws Ollie and Ray Haltom, and her daughter Carol Haltom. The family will receive friends for visitation Wednesday, March 23rd, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home, a service for family and friends of Carolyn Ann Haltom, age 84, will be held on Thursday, March 24th at 10 a.m. at First Baptist Church, Odessa. A graveside service for family and friends will be held at Bryan City Cemetery in Bryan, Texas, Saturday, March 26th at 10 a.m. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be given to the First Baptist Church, 709 North Lee Street, Odessa, Texas, 79761. Services entrusted to Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Joseph Malcolm Joe Mount, Odessa. Joseph Joe Malcolm Mount, 91, of Odessa, passed away Tuesday, March 15, 2022. He was born August 30, 1930, in Glenwood, Alabama, to the late Clara Bell Cornett and John Minchner Mount. Joe is survived by his sister, Margaret Moulton of Odessa, niece Lori Mitchell of Odessa, nephews Jason Moulton of Colorado and Josh Moulton of Austin, and great-nieces and nephews Ashley Walker of Midland, Dolan Vaughn of Austin, Rosemary Moulton of Pennsylvania, and Andrew Moulton of Colorado. The family will receive friends for visitation Friday, March 25th, 2022, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Odessa Funeral Home. Funeral services will be Saturday, March 26th, 2022, at 1 p.m. at Crescent Park Baptist Church, followed by interment at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Mark David Bradbury. Mark David Bradbury was born on February 5, 1958, in Wichita, Kansas. He moved to his eternal home March 9, 2022. Mark was preceded in death by his father, Charles Bradbury, his grandparents, Molly and Ray Bradbury, and Marcus and Maureen Gist. Mark is survived by his wife, Bobby Sue, mother, Alice Gist Bradbury, sister Sandra Moore and husband Bob, brothers Tom Bradbury and wife Cindy, and Bob Bradbury and wife Tammy, daughters Sheridan Bradbury and husband Andrew, and Jen Nunez and husband Stephen, sons Brad Pollock and wife Kelly, Benton Bryant and wife Lisa, and Brad Bryant and wife Amanda, plus grandchildren. A memorial service will be held in July at the Paisano Baptist Encampment, Alpine, Texas. Memorial gifts can be made at First Financial Bank under Bobby Sue Sparks' special account or mailed to Bobby Sue Sparks, 1120 Live Oak Road, Santo, Texas, 76472, to be deposited. All gifts will be donated to Paisano Baptist Encampment in Mark's name. This church camp held a very special place in Mark's heart as he still went every year with his family. Death notices from Sunday, March 20th. James Edward Green II, Alabaster, Alabama. James Edward Green II, 39, of Odessa, died Friday, March 11th, 2022, in Alabaster, Alabama. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Saturday, March 26th at Rose of Sharon Baptist Church in Odessa. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. Pastor Windsor L. Archie is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Nicholas Ryan Nico Grimes, Odessa. Nicholas Ryan Nico Grimes, 19, of Odessa, died Wednesday, March 16th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 3 p.m. March 22nd at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Dorothy Jean Sauze, Midland. Dorothy Jean Sauze, 92, of Midland, died Monday, March 14th in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 12 p.m. March 26th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. The family will receive guests from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Saturday, March 26th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home of Midland.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, March 21st. New animal shelter expected to be ready by November. The story was written by Kim Smith. Odessa's new animal shelter is on track to be completed in November, and shelter manager Kelly Hendricks said the new facility will definitely be worth the expense. The $8.3 million facility will double the number of kennels currently available to house cats and dogs, improve the ventilation system to lessen the likelihood of diseases spreading, and provide an enhanced drainage system. In addition, a crematorium is being built on site, so euthanized pets will no longer end up in the landfill, Hendricks said. The facility, which will replace the city's 30-year-old shelter, will be more than 20,000 square feet and is being funded with Certificate of Obligation bonds the council approved in 2019. During a May 2021 city council meeting, Odessa Police Chief Michael Gerke said philosophies have changed since the original facility was built. Back then, the city housed animals for 3 days before euthanizing those not claimed. Now, the idea is to house animals as long as possible to give people a chance to adopt them. Hendricks, who took over as shelter manager in January 2021, said disease outbreaks are a huge concern for those who worked animal welfare and was a major consideration when designing the new facility. Quote, "Once you get a disease in here, you have to shut it down so you close the front door. If it's distemper, it can be closed down for 2-3 months, because that's how long the distemper can last. Or you euthanize your entire building," Hendricks said. Quote, "These are porous floors. Concrete is porous. I don't care how hard you seal it. There's a porous aspect to it, and that disease is going to get in there and sit there dormant. If you can kill it, kill it. You can do whatever, but all it takes is one diseased dog, and you've lost your building," end quote. Since taking over her position, Hendricks said she has instituted stricter procedures to test for distemper, parvo, guardia, and feline leukemia. In 2020, the shelter had to be closed for 3 months due to disease outbreaks and for 2 weeks in 2021. By increasing the number of kennels from 116 to 231, Hendricks said shelter employees will be able to quarantine and isolate animals more effectively. In addition, the shelter will be going from evaporative coolers to air conditioners and have a state-of-the-art ventilation system, Hendricks said. The current shelter's swamp coolers and ventilation system helped spread diseases. Moreover, the new shelter has channels cut into the floors so water can drain more efficiently, she said. The shelter staff members are constantly cleaning and hosing down the kennels, but the current drainage system consists of small drain holes that frequently clog up. Quote, people say, well, why did y'all build such an expensive building? Well, I'm sorry, buildings are expensive, and you have to look at a shelter as if it's a hospital, not as a shelter, Hendrick said. The additional kennels will hopefully aid in decreasing the number of pets that are euthanized annually for other reasons aside from illness, Hendrick said. According to records obtained from the city under the Texas Public Information Act, just over 6,700 cats and dogs were euthanized from 2019 to 2021. Besides illnesses, the animals were euthanized due to injuries, aggression, and lack of space, although since January, they've tried to stop euthanizing for space reasons. As much as possible, the shelter works with animal rescue organizations in the hopes of getting all of the animals adopted out, Hendrick said. In fact, Dog Rescue RS transports roughly 85 animals from the Odessa shelter across the country to other shelters monthly. Nearly 4,100 animals were released to rescue organizations from 2019 to 2021, city records show. Until the animals are adopted, many of them are sent to foster parents by the rescues. The shelter itself adopted out 2,260 animals during the same time period. Another 1,800 were returned to their owners. What people need to realize is they are responsible for the expense of operating the Odessa Animal Shelter, which also houses stray and lost animals found in unincorporated Ector County, Hendrick said. People need to be responsible pet owners, she said. They need to spay and neuter their pets, keep them confined in their homes and yards, and get them microchipped and vaccinated. Animals roaming free are going to breed, get hit by cars, attacked by other animals, and infected with communicable diseases, and the end result is high euthanasia rates, she said. The shelter simply can't take in every animal injured on the streets and provide medical care for them, Hendrick said. If the rescues are filled, many of them will end up being euthanized. Quote, we can't, as a city, take on the burden that the community is responsible for. They are the ones allowing their dogs to run. Yeah, they're the ones not microchipping. They're the ones not vaccinating, and it's not the city's burden to do that. It's theirs, Hendrick said. Quote, you'll see me. I'll keep pointing back at the community because until they get on board, we're going to continue this problem. We can't stop it. It's floodgates. I try to explain, but I don't get one dog in the front door. They bring me 9. Oh, well, we're moving. Oh, well, I don't have time for him. That's what we hear every day, all day long. End quote. If she had a magic wand, Hendrick said she'd require all pet owners to microchip and vaccinate their animals, create a low-cost spay and neuter clinic at the shelter, and hire more employees. Right now, she has an adoption coordinator, 2 vet technicians, and 5 temporary employees, not nearly enough to staff the new facility, she said. She'd also love to implement a pay-it-forward spay and neuter program she recently learned about. The program would allow pet owners to donate however much they can afford to the next animal in line. Hendrick hopes Ector County will one day implement the same ordinances as the city so everyone is on the same page. Their own shelter would be nice too, she said. Quote, because they don't have any ordinances, they don't have any way to monitor or control their stuff, Hendrick said. The people in the county dump in the city because they think they're going to be treated better. The people in the city dump in the county because I want it as far away from home as it can get, and then you have the people that are dumping out on the oil field leases and in the company's yard. Some of them go over the gate and over the fences, even at the risk of breaking the animal's leg just to get them away. It's crazy. That's the thought process we have to change in our community. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Voter registration deadline. To be eligible to vote in the Constitutional Amendment special election and the Ector County Independent School District special bond election on May 7th, you must be a registered voter. If you are not a registered voter, or if you need to update your address with the voter registrar, you have until April 7th to do so in person, or application must be postmarked April 7th. You may also submit an application online with the Secretary of State at tinyurl.com/YCYMVS6A or www.sos.state.tx.us. Call the Elections Office if you are unsure of your voting status at 432-493-4030 or stop by 1010 East 8th Street, Suite 101. Annual West Texas Oil and Gas Show. The 8th Annual West Texas Oil and Gas Show has been scheduled at 9 a.m. Wednesday and Thursday at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trail in Midland. There will be heavy equipment displays, product demos, and a charity cook-off. Faith Fellowship Lutheran Church at 1603 North Grandview Avenue has scheduled Lenten midweek lunch and services from noon to 1 p.m. Wednesdays through April 6th. For more information, call 432-362-2549 or email office@faithfellowshipodessa.org. The Midland and Odessa Babas 33 locations team up with local police to raise money for Special Olympics Texas. Police officers will help serve guests at the Tip-A-Cop event and collect donations from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. Wednesday at 3315 West Loop 250 North in Midland and Thursday at 6153 East Highway 191 in Odessa. Visit bubbas33.com. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center at 1310 North FM 1788 in Midland will present the Baby Shark Live at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. Doors open at 5 p.m. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/54T9YTN8. The Ella Noel Art Museum at 4909 East University Boulevard has scheduled National Quilt Month film series at 6 p.m. Thursdays. Thursday, Bisa Butler, Quilt Portraits, G's Bend Quilters. March 31st, Ken Burns Quilt Collection. There will be short videos of famous quilt artists, quilt events, and quilt collections. Admission is free. For more information, visit noelartmuseum.org. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale has scheduled a Lone Star Brass Concert at 7:30 p.m. Thursday at the Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard. Tickets are $15 and students are $5. Tickets will be available at the door. For more information, call 800-514-3849 or visit mosc.org. Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center has scheduled a Champions for Children conference at 7:30 a.m. Friday at MCM Grande Hotel and Fun Dome, 6201 East I-20 Business Loop. Keynote speakers will be Carla Solomon and Carrie Kane. The conference is focused on educating the community and professionals in recognizing the signs, symptoms, and effects of child abuse, as well as how to respond to outcries of child abuse. Topics will include family feud, legal requirements and procedures, children with problematic sexual behavior, who are they and how can we help, abusive head trauma, child abuse skin findings, suspected child abuse and neglect, case studies, and human trafficking. There will also be an opportunity to sign up for off-site trainings such as the Stewards of Children Darkness to Light training available to all members of the community in the Permian Basin. The Champions for Children Conference is an approved provider for continuing education credits. CEUs will be offered by Midland Memorial Hospital. Social work CEUs will be provided by Midland Independent School District. TCOLE hours provided by Odessa Police Academy. Certificates will be sent by mail after the conference. Breakfast, lunch, and afternoon snack will be provided and included in the cost of the registration fees. Tickets are $50. For tickets or more information, tinyurl.com/5YJRCSK7. Holy Redeemer Catholic Church at 2633 Conover Avenue has scheduled Food Drive Charity Friday from 10 a.m. to noon on Friday. Food donations are welcomed. The CAF Desert Squadron, 411 East Yukon Road, has scheduled the 6th Annual Giant Hangar Sale from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Friday and Saturday. There will be furniture, household items, clothes, toys, fabric, knitting, plumbing supplies, craft supplies, glassware, jewelry dishes, appliances, and more. For more information, call Mel at 432-559-8961.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Does turmeric work to treat arthritis? Dear Dr. Roach, does turmeric work to treat arthritis? Answer. Many small studies have shown benefit in people with osteoarthritis of the knee to reduce pain. In a well-done trial comparing the active ingredient in turmeric, curcumin, to placebo, both groups had significant reductions in pain, but the turmeric extract group had better pain reduction. There was not an improvement in the physical functioning, such as walking speed or ability to climb stairs. There were fewer adverse effects in the turmeric extract group than the placebo group. There is moderate evidence that turmeric extracts improve pain in people with osteoarthritis of the knee. I would emphasize that exercise remains an important therapy at both reducing pain and improving function. Unfortunately, there are no medical treatments known to reverse or even slow down the progressive damage of osteoarthritis.
Ecstasy and uncertainty highlight a fear at work. Dear Abby, I've been in a relationship with a man I met at work. It took me 6 months to decide to be intimate with him, and it will be a year next month. Things are going great. The only issue is he has a wife and kids. The children are about my age. I am young, beautiful, and I know I deserve more, but I'm falling in love with this man, and I can't resist our passionate sex life. He's done things with me I've never experienced before. We see each other often, and I enjoy his company. This is the first time I have ever been a side piece, and it bothers me that the time we spend together is limited, and I can only call within certain hours. I know he likes me, but my feelings for him are way stronger. How do I resist my yearning to want to be around him or just talk on the phone? Should I change jobs to have a new beginning or consider a relationship with someone who doesn't have to be a secret? How can I end this with every fiber of my being I want to stay? Signed, Mistress in Massachusetts. Dear Mistress, this affair is going nowhere, so sharpen your survival instincts. Wake up and realize it could go on until he decides to trade you in for a younger, fresher side piece he can impress with his prowess. I'm willing to bet you are not his first, nor will you be the last. Quitting this person will not be entirely painless, but do it cold turkey anyway. You already know how, and if you're feeling generous when you wave goodbye, thank him for the many valuable lessons he's taught you, because you intend to share them with younger, stronger, single men. Believe me, there are plenty out there. Dear Abby, I am pregnant with my second child. My first child's a girl, and so is the baby I'm expecting. A few months ago, my husband's cousin gave birth to a girl. The baby had a heart defect that unfortunately could not be repaired. She died 4 days after birth. My heart was broken for not only this baby girl, but also her parents. I cannot fathom what it would be like to lose my child. While I have shared my good news with the close family, I have not shared it on social media out of respect for my husband's cousin. I'm torn because this is a happy time in my life and I would love to share my news, but I worry it would be insensitive. I have confided my concerns to a few friends. They're divided about how I should proceed, so I'm hoping you can offer guidance. Signed, Feeling Her Loss in New York. Dear Feeling Her Loss, sooner or later, your husband's cousin and her husband are going to learn about your pregnancy, if they don't already know. The kind thing to do would be to let them hear about it directly from you rather than via a post on social media. After you've spoken with them, you can then share the happy news of the impending arrival for all your friends to see.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.